WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Friday. Fun Friday, and we're going to be talking TV with you because that's my Fun Friday question. What is the best TV show of all time? And this can be what you think is, you know, artistically the best show. It could also be like, what is your favorite? Because not everybody's favorite TV show is necessarily the best TV show. So, you know, that's the phone lines are open to talk TV at 508-996-0500. And this is because next week we're going to be joined by Matthew Gilbert, former Boston Globe TV critic, to talk TV with him. But I did mention I wanted to talk about the new Celtics owner. So as you know, the Celtics have been on the market since it was announced back in July of last year that Rick Grousbeck and the Grousbeck family were going to be selling their, I think it's 51% stake. It might be 53. I forget which number. Percent share in the team. You know, it's probably in the story that I'm holding in my hand. 51% stake. So for those who are unfamiliar with the current Celtics ownership, because not everybody pays attention to the ownership, but this is an ownership group that came in, and at the time paid $360 million for the Celtics in 2002. And this was another thing that happened kind of in the middle of the season type thing. And they came in at a time when the Celtics were just kind of getting back to a little bit of prominence. You know, if you remember in 2001, 2002, the Celtics made the playoffs for the first time in a long time. Rick Pitino had quit. Jim O'Brien had taken over. Speaking of Rick Pitino, I just saw him on the TV here because, you know, now he's the coach of St. John's and they're playing in the NCAA tournament. And Rick Pitino looks like the ghost that visits Antoine Walker at night if he starts gambling again. But, you know, Rick Pitino really ruined the Celtics, coming in and insisting that he had to be the president as well as the coach and basically ousting Red Auerbach from a role that, well, might have been, you know, predominantly ceremonial at that point. I don't know how much Red was involved in the day-to-day before Pitino came in. But come on, that's Red freaking Auerbach. But Pitino, you know, wanted control of everything and ended up tanking the Celtics. Pitino was supposed to come in and get Tim Duncan. That didn't work out. They got Ron Mercer and Chauncey Billups. That didn't work out. Pitino could never keep the roster stable. He was constantly making trades. Just not a good pro coach. Great college coach, not a good pro coach. But anyway, the Celtics were just starting to come out of that Pitino-era funk when this current group bought the Celtics, and you know, they had their low point again, and they hired Danny Ainge, and he built them into what became the new Big Three era. And now Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge combined have built what we see now on the court. World champions looking like they're ready to defend that in the playoffs this year. So the new owner is Bill Chisholm. He is a California private equity director. He's the head of a company called Symphony Technology Group. And the $6.1 billion that they're paying is a record for an American pro sports franchise. That's just a little bit higher than the $6.05 billion that Josh Harris paid for the Washington Commanders. Chisholm is a Georgetown, Massachusetts native, grew up a Celtics fan, graduated from Dartmouth College, went on to become hugely successful, but he's also not, this isn't a sole buy either. He's the head of an ownership group that will become the new owners of the Celtics and basically now beating out current ownership group member Steve Pagliuca, who was trying to buy the Celtics himself. So if for some reason the NBA Board of Governors don't approve Bill Chisholm for whatever reason, and I can't imagine they won't, Pag still has an offer on the table that the Celtics could take. But for those unfamiliar, you know, Wick Grousbeck is the son of Irving Grousbeck. Irv Grousbeck, I believe, made his money in Continental Cable Vision. I think that was where he made his money. It was some cable company. I think it was Continental Cable Vision. Well, one of those early 80s cable companies. And he was part of the ownership group. But Wick and Steve, you know, Wick and Pags were kind of the guys that were the front and center faces of it. And they, you know, the NBA doesn't have owners that run things. They have governors that run things. And so Wick became the governor of the Celtics. And he's going to remain the CEO and governor of the Celtics for at least the next three seasons after this one. As part of this deal, he's going to stay on to help kind of manage the team and basically help with this. Now, I don't know what's going on in the Grousbeck family. There was all different kinds of reporting as to why this was happening. But the bottom line, it seems like they found a guy who definitely bleeds green, as he's been saying. But Bill Chisholm has been reluctant to really answer straightforward the question about keeping this Celtics team together when you have two Supermax guys and other guys that are going to be coming up for new contracts. And, you know, what is the shelf life of this team as currently constituted based on the fact that guys will want to get paid. But if you're watching the Celtics City series on Max, this team, this current team, is a real Celtics team. They are just as much Celtics as the original dynasty, as the 70s teams, as the 80s Big Three era. They might even be more Boston than the new Big Three. Because if you look at it, hey, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett were kind of hired guns in that regard. Now, they became part of the fabric of Boston, but, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they've kind of grown up in this city. As Jason Tatum says in the documentary in Celtic City, I bought my first house here, bought my first car here, my son was born here. Like, I am Boston now. This is the modern NBA where money talks and players are not going to say, you know what, I will take a hometown discount. So we'll see what happens in the future. But for now, and for at least the next couple of seasons, they can continue to chase more banners. But the important thing is that's what Bill Chisholm says he's here to do. He's here to be a steward for the team and to just continue on what Wick and the current group is built, and to win championships both now and in the future. So it doesn't seem like they're looking to upset the apple cart. I don't think they're going to be looking for a new coach. I don't think they're going to be looking for a new GM. I think they're just going to keep rolling with what's going on. I think the sign of stability is that Wick's going to be there for at least the next 3 years. So you don't keep a guy on as part of that transition, which was, I think, a condition of the sale anyway. But you don't keep a guy on if you don't want to keep things going the way they are. Unless Wick wanted to see things get blown up and, you know, this makes a convenient way to do that, but I don't think that. Anyway, how is it going to affect you, the fan, in the long run? Probably not at all. I mean, just in, I don't know anything about Bill Chisholm, but in the interviews that I've seen, that I've been watching since this announcement dropped yesterday, you know, he doesn't seem like a Mark Cuban guy where he wants to be front and center on the sidelines, having all the attention on him. I don't think that's him. And believe me, if I had $6.1 billion at my fingertips, if I had access to that kind of money, which, by the way, it's been reported, Duke Castiglione at WCVB is reporting they actually don't have the money altogether yet. This is like an agreement in principle, but they haven't been fully funded yet. Well, Pags' offer is fully funded, so there's that. But if I had access to $6.1 billion, I'd buy the Celtics too. But that's an emotional buy. Is it a sound financial decision? I mean, that's right around where Forbes has the team valued at. They value the team at $6 billion. But here's the problem. Unlike other teams, other pro sports teams, when you buy a sports franchise, you're also getting the stadium. And the stadium, unless it's, you know, municipally owned, like in Green Bay or something, but you're getting this, but so is the team. You get the stadium, and the stadium is a huge revenue source because you're also putting on concerts, WWE, Monster Jam, all kinds of other things you can put on that will generate revenue when your team is not in season, and even while your team is in season. So you can fill that building every night of the year if you wanted to. The Celtics do not have that option. The Celtics do not own TD Garden. Celtics play in a building that's owned by the owner of the Boston Bruins, who also, the Delaware North Corporation, under Jeremy Jacobs, built TD Garden. And they control TD Garden. So all the Celtics get from a game, unless things have changed since I was covering the team, but all the Celtics get is the ticket price of what people are paying to get into the game. And then, you know, whatever souvenirs they sell, all the concessions, the beer, the $5 bottle of water, the pretzels, the popcorn, the chicken tenders, everything else, that all goes to Delaware North and the Bruins. So it was believed that anybody who bought the Celtics would probably have an eye on building the Celtics their own arena. Is that viable? Is it viable to have two 20,000-seat arenas or, you know, 18,000-seat arenas in the same city? Because certainly if they build the Celtics a new facility, they're not building a smaller one. You're probably looking at a 20,000-seat stadium. And can Boston sustain two of those? And I say even the Boston area, even if you decide to build it in Everett, or if you decide to build it even in, I don't know, Randolph, can you really support two arenas? And really three arenas too, because BU has the Aganis Arena, which is, you know, akin to the Amp. In fact, it may even be a little bit smaller than the Amp, but that's three arenas in one city. That seems like it's a lot. And then when you're a band coming in, you know, which one do you play? Do you play the nice, shiny new one, or do you play the TD Garden? Which is still a fine facility, but is now, you know, 30 years old. Like, I believe this year is the 30th anniversary of the beginning of construction. Back when it was going to be the Chalmette Center. When I was in high school, every senior that didn't skip for senior skip day got a special field trip. I didn't skip because I had an AP test I had to take. and your entire grade for taking that course is based on taking the test, so I couldn't miss it. So I had to go to school that day. But anybody that did go to school that day, the principal paid for everybody to go to this field trip to Boston more as a punishment to the kids that skipped. They didn't care. But he sent us up to Boston Bowl in Dorchester for unlimited bowling, pool, and video games for like 2 or 3 hours. Like, all the machines were set to free play. We didn't have to pay for anything. And then they drove us over to the Fleet Center, well, the Shawmut Center, and we got a tour of the construction. We got to go inside. And then we went to Faneuil Hall Marketplace, and when we got off the bus, the teachers handed every kid a $20 bill and said, that's for you to go get lunch. So it was a great field trip. But we got to be in there as they were still working on building the arena. And then, of course, Shawmut became Fleet before the building even opened, and it opened up as the Fleet Center. And that's what it was when I first started covering the team, and then it became TD Bank North Garden before that business changed, and then it just became straight TD Garden. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I could ramble on about the Celtics all day. But I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. All right. We're going to take a little dip into the newsroom here with Mike Roberts. And when we come back on the other side, 508-996-0500, we can talk some TV. What's your favorite TV show of all time? What's the best TV show of all time? It's all on the table. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And again, this is because on Tuesday, we'll be joined by Matthew Gilbert, the former TV critic for the Boston Globe, who is coming to UMass Dartmouth on Sunday, March 30th, to give a little talk. I'm going to try and make it over there for that, too. TV is one of my favorite things to do. Watch television, talk about television, worked in television, and I could go on for hours about it, but I want to hear from you. 508-996-0500. But right now, let's check out what's going on with Mike.
An arrest made in an FBI document leak. Elon Musk preparing for a potential war with China. And how efficient is Massachusetts?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The intense storm that's been moving across the country is now getting into the eastern U.S.
It's been a little less than a week since we had pretty devastating tornadoes come through this area.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders visited communities ravaged by multiple tornadoes. The storm created tornadoes and blizzard conditions in parts of the Midwest, including Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, Missouri, Michigan, and Arkansas. Many of those states experienced prolonged power outages. Today, it's going to be really windy up and down the East Coast, from Washington, D.C., up to New York City. California is being called the most energy-efficient state in the U.S. A new ranking from the American Council for Energy Efficient Economy places the Golden State in first place for energy efficiency. California came in first, followed by Massachusetts second, and New York in third. The Pentagon is planning to brief Elon Musk today on the U.S.'s military plan for potential war with China. That's according to a New York Times report citing two officials. Some say giving Musk access to the top military secrets would greatly expand his role as an advisor to President Trump. It could also create a conflict of interest, as Musk is CEO of both Tesla and SpaceX and a leading supplier to the Pentagon. He also has extensive financial interests in China. UFC fighter Conor McGregor is running for president of Ireland. He announced the news yesterday, a few days after he met with President Trump at the White House. McGregor says his campaign will oppose the European Migration Pact, a plan that would streamline border security and speed up the asylum process for European Union members. McGregor said he greatly opposes the pact, telling people, "Vote for me as your president, and we will save Ireland together." McGregor has never held office before and was recently found guilty of rape in Ireland. A federal judge is criticizing the Justice Department's response to his request for more information about deportation flights. Brian Shook reports.
It's the latest update in the legal back and forth between the judge and the White House as President Trump attempts to deport Venezuelan migrants under the rarely used Alien Enemies Act. The DOJ had until noon Thursday to answer questions about the flights, but the judge says their response was woefully insufficient and claimed the government has again evaded its obligations to provide the necessary information. I'm Brian Shook.
A longtime FBI agent is being charged with illegally disclosing confidential records. Authorities accused Jonathan Bouma of stealing and releasing over 100 protected FBI files. He was arrested while boarding a flight in New York, but has been released on $100,000 bond with orders to appear in a Los Angeles court. The World's Happiness Report is out with its annual list of the happiest countries on Earth. Michael Kastner fills us in.
For the eighth year in a row, Finland is ranked number one. Scandinavian countries dominate the list this year, with Denmark, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden all making the top 10. The U.S. once again failed to make the top 10 and actually fell this year from number 23 to 24 on the list. At the bottom of the chart, Afghanistan.
WBSM Sports.
Bees lost to the Golden Knights in Vegas last night, 5-1. Bruins travel to San Jose to take on the Sharks tomorrow night at 10:30. The Celtics are back in action again tonight, taking on the Jazz at 9:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
The clouds, the mist, the drizzle, and the fog hanging around for a little while longer. Temperature-wise, we're in the 40s to start. Most of us end up on either side of 50 degrees in the afternoon. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
The theme song to my favorite show of all time. And I don't know that I would call it the best show of all time in terms of it was a quality show, but, you know, I would have to put The Wire, Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, shows like that ahead of it for sure. But it is my personal favorite and the one that is kind of my comfort show. But then, of course, that is the theme song to Quantum Leap, in case you didn't know. And that show only lasted 5 seasons, but it started off very much like an anthology that was in the vein of The Twilight Zone, in the sense that, yeah, time travel was the storytelling device of how they were telling these stories. But first of all, it was time travel like we'd never seen before, a guy who actually leaps into the bodies of other people and has to put right what went wrong in their lives. And it had that sci-fi kind of twist to it, but it was a show that taught a lot of morals. And that's, you know, very similar to The Twilight Zone. It was teaching a lot of morals, and it had a lot of heart. It had action, it had comedy, it had everything. romance, adventure. And they had a rule that they didn't want any famous people from history. They had what they called a kiss with history, where they might, you know, reference something, or they might kind of interact with somebody like, hey, was that, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But then in season five, they pulled out all the stops because they knew they were on the verge of cancellation. So you had Sam leaping into Elvis, leaping into Dr. Ruth. You had, you know, storylines that were kind of bigger overarching stories that weren't necessarily about the morality things and more about a bigger picture story for the cast. And then they even came up with the new theme. They wanted to have something peppier with more action. And I think it was actually star Scott Bakula's idea to have a little bit more punchier theme. But anyway, still one of the best shows of all time. And one of the best series finales, even though they didn't know it was going to be the series finale when they made it. Then they came out with the sequel series a couple of years ago. And that got canceled again, too. But that was okay. 508-996-0500. Our fun Friday question is, what is the best TV series of all time? Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Well, if this was a movie
TV show.
Or a TV show, I would say you get the number one spot for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I would, if this was TV, I would be canceled right away.
No, you wouldn't be.
They'd say,
no, you would not be.
They'd say, this is the Seinfeld of radio. It's a show about nothing.
Tim, you don't give yourself enough credit. I mean, you have people calling in that's never called in asking questions about the train. So it goes to show you there are so many people out there listening to you.
Oh, yeah. I get lots of app chat messages and emails and things like that. So I like to be self-deprecating.
Yeah. Speaking of app chats, what happened to Elk Bluff? Not so bad.
Still send some messages now and then.
Oh, okay, because I haven't heard nothing. And DSY, hello. I don't think casino is happening this spring. Got to save you money for this winter. The next winter coming. I'm only thinking about saving my money. Tim, thank God. I mean, I don't know. All the donations I do, I'm like thinking to myself, can I do it this year? But yeah, well, it's, I don't know. If it's a tax write-off, I can do it, but will I have the money on hand to do it when and how I do it?
Right,
you know?
You might have to just take a year off until things kind of settle out.
That's my concern, and I'm one of those people. I have not paid anything on any of my bills because I'm just waiting for that miracle. I'm thinking there's going to be like this big, huge thing that will happen. I'll be like, wow, I'm glad I didn't pay it all off. I will have to, no doubt. Her $50 don't mean nothing. I don't use air conditioning, so for people that use it, I'm just telling you right now, that's just money to help you pay your exorbitant electric bills you'll be looking at. And speaking of which, I've had a little confusion on the date. I know they put us on the bottom of the list and the last of the month in March, but what date is the NSTAR people, Eversource people?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and find it and look it up.
Could you? Because I've heard 22nd, then I heard the 24th, then I heard the 25th. No, supposedly it's the 25th. And could you just please remind everybody where and what time it will be?
Well, I know, I believe it was going to be at the Pulaski School.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Let's see. Tuesday, March 25th at 6 p.m. at the Pulaski School.
And you know, we can all go. Everybody can ask a question and whatnot.
Yeah, this is regional. You don't have to be a New Bedford resident. This can be anybody in the area.
Right. That's right. So everybody should come. And I am going to ask. I've got two huge questions I want to ask them. Are they really doing actual readings when they say it's actual? Because I've caught them twice in a lie. They didn't do an actual reading. And I know. Well, I'm going to bring it up when I'm there. And so anyways, I also wanted to say to you, wow, I cannot believe this is great. You're going to go on the train and do the show. But yes, I was thinking you guys didn't think it out, because when you get back, it's going to be a long day for you by the time you get
So, like I said, I had come up with the idea, but Michael Rock was working out the logistics yesterday, and he's like, yeah, it's going to work. And he came back and was like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And I was like, okay, all right. And then I looked at the schedule and said, wait a minute, did we figure out that part of it? And it's easy for them because they play music. So they can play music for 45 minutes before, while they're waiting for the next train to come. But I can't do that.
No, what are you going to do? Right. No way. Well, I don't know. I think, like, if we can... maybe we can all go to Chinatown, walk over to Chinatown and get some early morning Chinese.
Not me. I still got to be on the air.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when you wait to come back on the train, what are you going to do with your time? You're going to be off the air. It's going to be Christmas time.
No, I'm still on the, I'm waiting while I'm still on the air. I'm going to get there at 7:30 and I can't leave till 8:30. So an hour of the show is going to be done from South Station, I guess.
Wait, but what are you going to do? You only have a half an hour till 9, and you're still going to be in Boston.
No, I'm getting on that 8:30 train. I'm getting on the train at 8:37 to come back.
Oh, okay. So you're going to just stay on the air for 30 minutes on the way home, and then you're going to go let it become Chris's show.
Yeah, yeah. I won't be on the whole time. I mean, if he wants to check in with me, he certainly can. But, you know, it'll be the same ride coming back that it was going up. So I don't know how interesting it'll be on the return trip anyway.
Yeah, on the return trip, you're going to be bored out of your mind.
No way. The minute I'm off the air, I'll probably just take a nap because I'll be exhausted at that point from running to trains and doing all that. Yeah.
Tim, you think you could fall asleep on the train? Wow, you must.
I can fall asleep anywhere. I fall asleep in the movie theater. I fall asleep on my desk.
You got narcolepsy, right?
That, but also I still could fall asleep anywhere.
Wow, I'm not picky. You're lucky to be able to do that. So, okay, so a couple of things that I wanted to talk with you yesterday is, when are we going to hear about our family, the United Way family?
We'll probably hear from Victoria next week. As we get ready for the April 5th date for Hunger Heroes food drop. So she'll probably pop on next week. Problem is I should set a time with her because my schedule is filling up next week with guests and segments. So.
Okay. And second, the Mercy Meals. Well, I don't know. Like, do you know exactly who and what? Like, it's going to be three comedians, correct?
I don't know anything about it.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe you can work on that and let us know what's going on, because I am going to go there again. I had such a great time last year, and I am not going to auction my butt off for pink tickets. It's Cindy Lauper this year. Mm-hmm. It's that much I do know, and it's her last tour, farewell tour. Are you going to try to see Cindy Lauper? Because I know you kind of
That's my hope if everything works out.
Yeah. So where is the Xfinity Center, by the way, in Mansfield?
Right off the highway.
It really is, literally right off the expressway?
Mm-hmm. Not off the expressway, but off 495.
Right. You take the exit, Mansfield to Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been there. So I'm kind of looking forward to us, Cindy Lauper. I'm not going to go nuts.
We'll see what happens. Well, I think we'll also be giving away some tickets, too, as we get closer to the show. I got to hold you there because I got some other callers that want to get on.
No, that's great. I got my questions in that I wanted to ask yesterday.
All right. Well, you have a skedaroo of a weekend.
Oh, my God. You said it for me. I almost forgot.
I stole your
everybody,
line.
Everybody, you have a skedaroo of a weekend. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Take it easy.
I'll take it. Bye-bye.
All right, callers. I do have to take a break, but I'll go to the phones very quickly. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. Tim, if I had a job in Boston, it would cost me like $25 a day to go there. I mean, $12 to go there and $12 to come home, right?
Yeah, so but you can buy a pass, like a monthly pass that would save you some money.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got to tell you these three shows right away. You know who I loved for a show? Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, and I remember one show, the fellow won $10 million on a prize, but he died, and they couldn't find the ticket. So then finally they figured out, oh, we got to exhume the body, because the ticket was in his suit. You know, when he died, they buried him with a suit on. And the ticket that won the $10 million was inside his suit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll never forget that show. Oh, and the other show I liked a lot was Wagon Train. The cowboy, uh-huh. I mean, you know, do you remember Wagon Train?
I my grandfather used to watch all those Westerns in reruns when I was a kid. So
oh, yeah,
I'm sure I saw
too.
That one.
Oh, yeah. And Tim, the show that we always watched growing up was Dick Clark. You know, I think we used to get home from school, and then 4 o'clock, Dick Clark used to come on.
Yeah, American Bandstand?
Yeah, American Bandstand, yeah. And I think he was on for an hour, yeah. From, it was either 4:30 to 5:30 or something like that, anyhow. But those are the three shows. But I used to like Alfred Hitchcock because, you try to guess what's going to happen, and it was always interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
And it's still on the, I think MeTV runs it, or some of those, one of the Tubi app, one of them still has it all.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, people still watch it today.
Show. Yeah, and of course, my favorite show, the game show, is The Price is Right.
Sure.
And I try to guess who's going to win the big prize, but a lot of times I'm wrong, they overbid, you know, but I listen to Chris, and then about 5 minutes to 12, I have to shut Chris off and put on The Price is Right.
I don't blame you.
Okay.
It's a great show.
Yeah, take care.
You as well. Although, you know, Chris has a great show too, but The Price is Right is a lot of fun, especially if you've been watching it for a long time. Caller, hang on. I will get to you next. Let me just get this break in, and then we'll go right to you when we come back in just a few moments. And let's take this call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
How about MASH?
That was a great one. Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, let me ask you. Are you more of a Colonel Potter guy or a Colonel Blake guy?
Potter.
And are you more of a BJ Honeycutt or a Trapper John?
Both of them.
All right.
But the guy that really made me laugh was Klinger.
Yep. Yeah, he was great. Jamie Farr, hilarious.
Yeah, he was in Boston at the Playboy Club back in the 70s.
Wow. I don't think he's not still around, is he? I think he might have passed away.
Yeah, I have no idea. But that brought a lot of laughter. That's why, you know, the MASH. That's all right, you have a nice day.
You as well. Take care. Yeah, MASH is one of the best shows of all time. And still to this day, you know, you can watch an episode of that and realize, like, this was pretty groundbreaking television at the time. And the finale is still one of the most watched television programs of all time. Let me wrap things up here with my final break. Caller, if we get to you, we will. If not, we'll take you right at the start of the next hour. But we'll be back in just a few moments. All right, we're going to be talking some TV with you coming up in the next hour. What is the best TV show of all time? Got a couple of app chat messages. Bob says, my favorite Martian with Ray Walston and Bill Bixby was the best show of all time. Half the episodes in black and white, half of them in color. Tim in New Bedford says, All in the Family. DSY says, I think Klinger, Jamie Farr, is still alive. So, yeah, I didn't look it up, but you could very well be right. Also, the Pork Man says, Law and Order of the Chris Noth era, All in the Family, too hard to choose one. And he says, oh, I forgot Ghost Stalkers, which was a show that I worked on. So thank you, Pork Man, for saying that. But we'll talk more about TV coming up, and we'll take your call.